You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 14th of June 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to continue taking a look at the Wales government's anti-racist action plan. And yesterday we looked at an article that talked about this, which essentially they want to replace 20% of the current people in the Welsh government with non-whites, despite the fact that non-whites only make up 4% of the population in Wales. So they want non-whites to actually have five times as much representation as they do as they're part of the population. And today we're going to take a closer look actually at the article that's been produced itself, the action plan itself that's been put out for the public to have a look at. And there's one particular section of it which is titled "What is racism and what is an anti-racist approach?" And of course, it doesn't actually define what racism is. But you can gather from looking at it that racism has changed from being a hatred of somebody for having a different skin colour, the hatred of the skin colour that it used to be, and it has now changed to any different outcome that there is between non-whites and whites. So they are suggesting that if whites on average get higher exam results than blacks, it must be due to racism. And that's effectively what they are implying with this section here, what is racism and what is an anti-racist approach. So what they're trying to do is to give everybody exactly the same outcome. And they're claiming that if people don't all have the same outcome, it must be down to racism. It can't be down to there actually being differences between the races. It can't be down to there actually being such a thing as diversity. They say, for many decades, people have tried to look at how we can address and even prevent racism and its impact. In the early decades of attempting to tackle racism, there was a common belief that if all ethnic minority people integrated into mainstream society, i.e. became more westernized, learned the main language, and lost their cultures, accents, and languages, and behaved more like the majority, this would remove racism. However, this did not result in greater acceptance of ethnic minority people, and the poorer outcomes for them remained. And of course, this is something that we are against as nationalists. We don't support the integration ideal. This is what civic nationalists promote. And also some Christians, they will say, if only the Muslims became Christian, we wouldn't have a problem. Civic nationalists will say, if only these people behaved like us and followed our ways and became good liberal progressives, we wouldn't have a problem. And of course, as ethno-nationalists, as ethnocentrics, we will say, you cannot expect people to do this. They have a rich history. They have thousands of years of history of developing their own culture, which reflects their own innate differences to the other people groups. And they should be celebrating that, and they should be proud of that. And they should be learning from that what they're going to be good at, and learning from that what they are going to be bad at. And what we should be doing is encouraging people to identify with their ethnicity. We should be encouraging people to advocate for their ethnicity. We should be encouraging solidarity between the people groups. And there is a move to doing that today, and we do encourage, we encourage Black Lives Matter, we encourage black people to identify with other blacks, we encourage Muslims to identify with Muslims and to organise, and we have community leaders and representatives for the Muslim community, for all these different communities. But we don't encourage the same for white people. We tell white people that they should be integrating into multiculturalism, but these other groups should be celebrating their differences, which is very hypocritical, and it's also maladaptive. It's maladaptive and it's suicidal for us as white people, as a people group, to be encouraging this. We should all be encouraged to identify with our ethnicity, to be the very best people that we can, to be the very best example of our people group that we can be, and to advocate for our people group, and to do our best for our people group. And that would encourage people to be the best people that they can, and it would bring the best out of these different people groups. And effectively, this way of looking at ethnic minorities and saying, well, that they should integrate into mainstream society, that in itself is a form of racism and supremacism, because it's saying Western society is superior and these other groups should all become like Westerners because we're so superior, because our way of doing things is clearly superior to theirs. They should be behaving just like us. So I would suggest that is a racist way of looking at it. And that is the way that a lot of people still do look at it. But they just don't self-reflect and think, well, actually, that's a form of supremacy. As ethno-nationalists, we don't say that. We say, well, Western society is clearly best for Westerners. Islamic society is clearly best for Muslims, or they wouldn't have developed it. I mean, they developed that society because it reflects their innate differences to the other people groups. And of course, Islamic society is based on religion, but that religion comes from a non-white group and it reflects the sensibilities, particularly of Arabs, but also a lot of non-white groups, the same as Christianity reflects the sensibilities of Europeans. Secondly, they say this was followed by what was commonly called multiculturalism. The thinking was that if ethnic minorities shared their cultures and traditions, and the mainstream society did the same, the problem of racism would disappear. This approach of sharing what is commonly called saris, samosas, and steel bands became skewed, with mainly ethnic minority people sharing their cultures to appease and to ask for inclusion into decision-making fora. Again, this approach to stopping racism also didn't work. So they're saying it was mainly ethnic minority peoples sharing their cultures. What about white people sharing their culture? That's what happened, isn't it? Didn't we go to Africa and didn't we bring them telecommunications and road building and transport and trains and universities and hospitals? We brought them all of these things. So we shared our culture with them. And yet they're saying here that it was only ethnic minority peoples that shared their cultures. And again, this whole idea of multiculturalism, where you have different cultures within one territory, is just creating a situation that is going to lead to problems, really. When you look throughout history, all wars have been created by two different people groups within one territory. Even when you have people groups that are very close to one another biologically. When you think about the Irish and you think about the English, they're both essentially the same biologically. And yet because there's a slightly different version of the religion, we ended up having all the troubles over Northern Ireland. When you look at Yugoslavia, you see you have the Serbs, the Croats, nearby, I mean, all of that area, really, the Balkans, you have people groups that are very close to one another. And yet we've had all those wars there, all those problems. So even when you have a people group that is very similar to another people group, you still end up with conflicts of interest. So multiculturalism doesn't work. and quite how they thought multiculturalism was going to get rid of racism, I don't know, because mixing the people groups together within one territory, that's, you know, you're going to end up with conflicts of interest. You're going to end up with people with different cultures. I mean, that's what it says in the word, doesn't it? Multiculturalism. And if somebody is used to following one culture and then they're being expected to follow another culture, there's going to be friction there, isn't there? So multiculturalism itself basically creates the conditions required for racism. If you don't have multiculturalism, you can't have racism. So their solution to racism here, we'll have multiculturalism, that will get rid of racism. It's a nonsense, because you cannot have racism without multiculturalism. It's just not possible to have it. How can somebody be discriminated against by another race if there is no other race there? It's not possible. Continuing, the more recent approach of race equality worked better, as it was and still is underpinned by the Equality Act of 2010. But again, its impact has been limited. This approach argued that if we gave ethnic minority people and other protected groups equal opportunity to achieve what people in the mainstream society were able to achieve, that would equalise the race to enter and succeed. And these are weasel words, because they're not talking about equal opportunity here. Under the Equality Act of 2010, they basically made it lawful to discriminate against white people. They made it lawful to bring in diversity quotas and to hire people on the basis of their race or who they slept with or what gender they were. They said, because we need to get more women into work, we need to get more ethnic minorities into important positions, we will have quotas. And we will make it legal for companies to make adverts targeting non-whites and excluding whites. And we end up with a situation where the police, for instance, offer special training days for non-whites. White people need not apply. We end up with the BBC offering a job for a comedy writer and saying middle-aged white men need not apply. So the Equality Act itself, in the grand old tradition of British acts, such as the Abolition of Usury Act, which actually legalised usury, we have the Equality Act, which in actual fact legalises inequality and means that instead of employing people based on their merit or based on their qualifications, people could be employed simply on their diversity status. So what is this going to do? Well, of course, this is going to upset the indigenous population, because the indigenous population are now being discriminated against. So the solution to discrimination against one group, they say here, is to promote discrimination against the other group. Again, I say the solution to all of this is to have monoculturalism, like they have in China, like they have in Japan, like they have in India, pretty much like they have in Russia, and just have one people group there, and then there can't be any accusations of discrimination, there can't be any racism, and you don't need diversity quotas, and people can be given their positions on their merit, on their qualifications. And that way, the race is equal, isn't it? If you're only competing against people from your own people group, then the race is equal. And if you want to look at an analogy here with sport, imagine you're doing the 100-meter sprint and you're a white man and you're entering the race for the 100-meter sprint, and yet you're up against a black man, and all the black men win the race and the white man comes last. Why would that be? Well, it's because certain black ethnicities have more fast twitch muscles. They literally have extra muscles in their legs, which means that they can run faster. And yet if the white man's been told that he's exactly the same as these black people, he's going to be thinking, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me that I can't win? Something must be going on here. There must be some cheating that's going on here. But there's no cheating that's going on. It's just the fact that there is a difference between the races. So it's not fair of the white man to be measuring himself up against the black 100-meter sprinters. And it's the same thing with all the races. we shouldn't be measuring ourselves up against different people groups, because the race is not even. It's not equal. So what they and they're effectively admitting this by bringing in these diversity quotas and by trying to quote unquote equalize the race. Only instead of understanding that the reason why the race isn't equal is because the people groups are different to one another, they say the reason that the race isn't equal is because white people hate the color of the skin. Continuing here, ethnic minority people, for instance, could have training and development as part of the positive action allowed under the Equality Act. However, those who did succeed by having some sort of an equal chance at the start of the race often failed soon after they entered organizations. The policies, for example, of progression, mentoring, sponsorship, and the need to have informal networks that helped people progress were lacking for ethnic minority people and so discriminated against them. Well, when has there ever been a mentor program for white people or sponsorship specifically for white people? All of these programs were put in place for ethnic minorities. How is that equal? How is that equality to have all these programs put in place, all this training and development that's just there for non-whites, when you don't have that for whites? And then to claim that white people are being racist against these groups, when in actual fact we put in place all of these programs to compensate for the fact that they are basically different to us. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Because the very fact that we put in place these programs, that proves that we're not racist. That proves that we're not discriminating against them in any way. In actual fact, we're doing the opposite. We're discriminating against white people and not producing these programs for whites to give the non-whites an advantage. And how is that discrimination, to be giving these groups an advantage? It isn't. This is the bizarre thing. We do so much to try and help these other groups, and yet the more we do, the more we're told that in actual fact we are being mean to them and discriminating against them. That's why I say, doesn't matter what we do, there will always be that suspicion there, and the only way to get rid of that suspicion is to have a monocultural system. The focus in all three of these approaches was about how we fix ethnic minority people. None took into account the historical imbalance of power between white and ethnic minority communities. Further, they did not address how racism is embedded in organizations' policies, processes, and ways of working practices to ensure power and influence remained with the white majority, and the legacy of racism persists. Well, I would agree with that first sentence, that the focus in all of these has been how we fix ethnic minority people, and as I pointed out at the beginning, they don't need fixing. They are the way that they are. They are different to us because they are a different people group. There is as much diversity within the human kingdom as there is within the animal kingdom. That's why there are different outcomes. That's why there are different cultures. And if you look at all the different people groups, they've all come out with a different culture. That's because they are all innately different. They all have a different spirit, a different character. That's the reason why there are these differences. And the left-wing way of looking at this has been, well, it can't possibly be because these people are different in any way. We must all be the same. Therefore, somehow we have to fix this problem. And I don't know why we look at it as a problem. I don't know why we don't celebrate the diversity, genuinely celebrate it, instead of trying to abolish it. Secondly here, they say, none of these policies took into account the historical imbalance, the imbalance of power in history. Well, we didn't have any ethnic minority communities until after the Second World War. So how far back are you going to go with this history? For the last 2,000 years, there's pretty much only been white people in this country. So, of course, there's going to be an imbalance of power because there weren't any ethnic minority communities to have any power. Now that we do have ethnic minority communities, they are overrepresented. They're overrepresented in government, and we know they're overrepresented in the media. We did a program just the other week talking about this, how there had been a poll taken in Britain of the size of these minorities that people thought they were. And there were people thought they were four to five times the size, because on the television, every advert shows a white woman with a black male. And if you look at that, you would think, well, black people make up 50% of the population. Apparently, people thought Jews made up 20 times the size that they actually are in the population. So this here, saying there's this historical imbalance of power, that's not really apparent to people now. It's the other way around now. If you look at Boris Johnson's cabinet, it's the most diverse cabinet in history, something which he's very proud of. And it shows that non-whites are disproportionately placed in that cabinet. It's not proportionate to their percentage of the population. So this imbalance of power is not there. The imbalance is the fact that they don't represent their percentage of the population. And the historical side of it, we didn't have ethnic minority communities in Britain until after the Second World War. The fact is, Britain was 99.9% white until then. So there wasn't enough room for there to be a community. What it says here about how racism is embedded into organisations, policies, processes and ways of working practices. Well, according to the study that the UK government did, looking into institutional racism, there's no such thing in Britain. There's no such thing as institutional racism. They said that there were other reasons why there are these differences in life outcomes. Other reasons, such as 80% of black homes don't have a father there. They come from a broken home. Socioeconomic reasons, poor areas, people not doing so well in their schoolwork. They said there are all these different reasons why. Of course, they didn't admit that the reasons why there are these differences is because there are innate differences between the people groups, but they did at least break it down and say that there are other reasons for this. It's not that white people are deliberately doing this as a policy against non-whites because they hate the colour of the skin. The reasons why there are these disparities is because there are these socioeconomic differences, education differences, family differences. That's the reason for it. And yet, according to this report that the Wales government have put out, it's the opposite. They're saying that there's this hatred of the skin is embedded into organisations, policies, processes and ways of working practices. And that was deliberately set up to ensure that power and influence remained with white people. Interesting that they say power and influence there, because I often talk about how different minority groups within multicultural societies will seek to gain power and influence, because that is naturally what they should be doing. And what they're saying here is, you know, they're complaining that they don't have enough power and influence and that it remains with the white majority. I would suggest that the power and the influence is now shared out, and the white majority don't actually have any advocates. Anybody that speaks up for the white majority is going to be accused of being a racist and a white supremacist. Another approach, diversity and inclusion, has also failed. This focus of involving people from different backgrounds, such as women, LGBTQ and disabled people, for example, in discussions and opinion sharing, and so bringing them to the table, also did not take into account the power imbalances. Well, of course, they're going to be imbalances because these groups actually make up tiny minorities of the population, apart from women, of course. But if you look at the disabled, they make up probably under 1%. If you look at LGBTQ, well, if you look at transgender, they make up 0.3%. Lesbians and gays, I think they make up 2%. So, of course, there's going to be this imbalance there because they make up a smaller percentage of the population. And if you're going to have everything based around democracy, then it's based on the numbers, isn't it? It's based on the numbers there. And if they don't have a large enough group, they're not going to have very much influence in government policy. And surely that's the way democracy works, isn't it? It works on the number of people that are taking the votes. Their participation had limited value, and it left them disappointed with the results of their inputs and their efforts. Whilst they were at the table, they did not have the authority to deliver real changes. Power was still held by the majority. Of course it's going to be held by the majority. That's the way that it is in democracy, isn't it? It's the majority that wins the vote, that decides the outcome of the election. What they're saying here is, oh, that's not fair. We need to have more of a voice for these minorities. They say these are mainly white people in leadership positions, continue to make policies and decisions that did not take account of the needs and interests of ethnic minority people. Well, how can that be when this is the outcome of a special commission that Mark Drakeford put into place, this special group to look at race disparities? How is that making policies and decisions that don't take account of the needs of ethnic minority people? I would suggest the government makes policies and decisions that do not take into account the needs and interests of the Indigenous British people. Nobody asks the Indigenous British people how these policies are going to affect them. Nobody talks about how the immigration policy is going to affect the Indigenous British people, whether they want to have the Greenbelt land built over, whether the people in Linton on Ouse, whether they want their little population in that village to treble with illegal asylum seekers. Nobody asks them. And the people that speak up about this, people like myself, we get accused of being racist. So I would suggest this is the other way around. But of course, this power and influence that these groups want, that is the right thing that they would advocate for that. The issue I have is that as the Indigenous British people, our representatives should not be handing over power and influence to these other groups. We should be seeking to retain that for ourselves in the same way that these groups are seeking to gain power and influence for themselves. What we are being told is that we should just be handing it all over to them. Simply because if we don't do that, we'll be accused of hating the colour of the skin. We'll be accused of discrimination and being a racist if we don't. Anti-racism is about changing the systems, policies and processes which for so long have embedded a negative view of ethnic minority people. How are we being given this negative view of ethnic minority people? Whenever we see them on the television, they are portrayed in a positive role. If ever they're portrayed in a negative role, then there will be accusations of racism there and typecasting, stereotyping, all of these things. I would suggest that there is an overly positive view of ethnic minorities that is now promoted. These negative biases can only be tackled through an anti-racist approach. Fixing ethnic minority people, either as individuals or as a group, is not the answer. I would agree. There is nothing wrong with them. They are the way that they are. They're the way that they are meant to be. Often it is the systems for progression and for selecting who will be mentored, coached or sponsored that fail people. In service provision, it is often the colourblind approach that works against ethnic minority people. So what they're saying there is, we need to have diversity quotas. We cannot have a meritocracy, because if we have a meritocracy, which is colourblind and which just gives the position to the person that has the best qualifications, that works against ethnic minority people. Now, why would that work against ethnic minority people? Well, I would suggest it's because they are different. Because they are different, they have different life outcomes. Because they are different people, they have a different average IQ, and a different average IQ is going to predict different exam results. Different exam results are going to predict different roles in society. I mean, further from that, different people groups have different talents, and they should be concentrating on those talents. What they're saying here is that because there is this difference there, and it's working against ethnic minority people, it must be because of racism. And I mean, if you look at it, we have a system that was created by white people for white people. I mean, it wasn't created to be working for all these different people groups in the world. I mean, why would we create a system that was going to be a benefit to these other people groups in the first place? Surely these other people, it's up to these other people groups to develop their own systems which are going to benefit them, which is what we see in the Islamic world. We see the Islamic world has a system that benefits Islamic people in Japan, they created a system that benefits Japanese people. I mean, if you don't know how to speak Japanese, you're not going to be able to make very much out of their system, are you? I mean, that is just the way that it is. But what they're saying here is that somehow this is wrong, that white people created a system that works for whites. And apparently it works against ethnic minorities, and that's deliberate, they're saying here. It's discrimination, it's racism. It's not racism, it's just doing the best for your people. Obviously, the compilers of this report, that's what they're doing. They're trying to do the best for their people. They're trying to gain influence and power for their people. That's the right thing. I would suggest it's the wrong thing that Mark Drakeford is doing by endorsing this. Because he's effectively endorsing something which works against his own people group. We set up a system that was a meritocracy that was going to give people positions because of their qualifications. And now we're being told, well, this is wrong, this is racist, because it doesn't end up giving the same amount of non-whites positions as it does whites. Frequently, the assumption is made that providing the same for everyone will be the most appropriate service. Whereas, in fact, taking people's differences, for example, language, dietary needs, dress, etc., leads to a more sensitive, accessible, and effective service. Often the consequence of the colourblind approach is that ethnic minority people struggle to enter jobs or to progress or to receive services appropriate to their needs. Well, this is based on the law, isn't it? Everybody is supposed to be equal under the law. And what they're saying here is, oh no, everybody should not be equal under the law. We should be taking people's differences into account. Well, where would we be if we took people's differences into account with the law? I mean, we would just be allowing some groups in society to break the law and other groups to not break the law. But effectively what they're saying here is, no, we can't provide the same for everyone. We have to take people's differences into account with regards to employing someone. Should we take the difference into account that they want to stay in bed all day and not turn up for work? I mean, that is an extreme example. But we do have people saying, well, we need to take Muslims' needs into account, and we need to allow them to have 5 breaks during the day so that they can go off and pray for half an hour. Yet that doesn't fit in with the culture that we created over here, does it? It doesn't fit in with the Christian culture. So they will say, well, that discriminates against Muslims. It doesn't discriminate against Muslims. It was just that it was set up for Christian people, and there weren't any Muslims here. So that's why the system wasn't set up to include Muslims. It's not that there's deliberate discrimination there or deliberate racism. And the fact that Muslims want to take that time off for prayers is because that's part of the religion that they developed for themselves, because they're a different people to us. And it finishes off here. For us, anti-racism involves actively identifying and getting rid of policies, systems, structures, and processes that produce radically different outcomes for ethnic minority groups. Well, that means they want to destroy the whole Western system, doesn't it? Because the whole Western system of meritocracy produces these different outcomes. You know, if you're going to have everything based around speaking English, you're going to have these different outcomes, because you're going to have different people groups that can't speak English. So they're effectively talking about destroying the whole system because it doesn't benefit them. Well, how about they create their own system instead of expecting the system of another people group to be set up to benefit them? There's a radical idea. It says it requires us to acknowledge that even if we do not see ourselves as racist, we can, by turning our eye away, be complicit in allowing racism to continue. And that's this idea that silence is violence. If you don't speak up about this, then you're complicit in violence against black people, apparently. We know that negative stereotypes about ethnic minority people can develop from as early as age 4. Again, that goes down to the survival instinct. And children want to be with people from their own extended kinship group. They want to be with people that they feel safe with, and they instinctively know that they're going to be safest with someone of their own ethnicity. I mean, it's just common sense. It doesn't mean that there are negative stereotypes, or four-year-olds are racists or are discriminating. It's just a survival instinct. They say, so even without knowing it, we can be socialized into holding negative stereotypes. And when people are in a position of power, these stereotypes can have a major impact on the decisions they make, and therefore on ethnic minority people. Again, if you have a meritocracy, though, and people are being employed on their qualifications, how can this idea of stereotypes even enter into it? And where do stereotypes come from? Stereotypes come in because they are useful to us, because you can predict things from them. You have a stereotype because you're used to seeing a pattern. I mean, it can be a stereotype of anything. But if you're used to seeing a pattern of behavior, say, that becomes a stereotype because that's useful to you. If it's a negative pattern of behavior, it becomes useful to you because it can help you to avoid that pattern of behavior. It can help you to avoid being a victim. If it's a positive behavior, then it benefits us to be able to observe it and identify it because it's going to be of benefit to us if we can find people that exhibit that type of positive behavior. You get positive and negative stereotypes, but they exist because they are useful to us. The fact that something is a stereotype does not mean that it's not true. It may not be true for everyone, but it is certainly true for a certain portion of them. And that's why it's of benefit to us, and that's why we have them. But if you have a meritocracy, and people are just put in their position because of qualifications, then stereotypes can't enter into it. And if you had a blank system where people couldn't actually tell what race the person is or what ethnicity the person was that was applying for the job, then how could stereotypes enter into it? But what they're saying here is, oh no, that's completely wrong. We can't have that. We can't have this colorblind way of doing things because ethnic minorities still don't do very well with that. What we have to do is have everything targeted towards raising them up and benefiting them at the expense of the indigenous Britons. And of course, that's great if you're an ethnic minority, and why would any ethnic minority not want to support that? But it's not good if you're the indigenous Britons, it's not good if you're a white man. So why do white men support it? Why is Mark Drakeford promoting it? That's what I want to know. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.